We are the Brothers Geek. This is our podcast. Yes, you're listening to the Brothers Geek. This is episode 22.
Are you doing a little dance?
I did a little dance, and I did a little song.
That's a new... That was a new intro, and I'm down! I'm in!
I think I rejected
it. We got one vote up, one vote down. Got it. All right. Got it. All right, Andrew, Patrick obviously likes it, so it's staying, Patrick. 2-1, boom. So, this is the Brothers Geek Podcast. We are brothers, we are geeks. We talk about geeky things. These are my two brothers, Andrew and Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew and Christopher.
Hello.
That's
Hi, boys.
That's Andrew, that's
yeah.
Christopher.
It's a Monday.
It's a it Monday?
Is.
This is a Monday.
December
1st.
I
always like to say the date and the episode number.
Episode number
22.
December 1st. Hopefully this will go up earlier than a couple weeks after today. Right,
hey,
Patrick?
Shut up, Christopher.
Shut up.
So
that's how we do it. In this
that's how we do it. We all had Thanksgiving, and I was not there for the wonderful family Thanksgiving.
No,
how was mom's turkey?
We were missed.
How was mother's turkey? It was amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
No, the Thanksgiving
it was
good. No
what's
points.
Your what's your favorite Thanksgiving item? Personal favorite. Go.
Oh. Honestly, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to be a total kiss-ass right now and just go score brownie points. My favorite thing about Thanksgiving is my girlfriend's pumpkin pie.
Ooh, pumpkin pie.
Boom. Said it.
Like mom's – like this pie. Wins out. This is like homemade pumpkin pie?
I had a slicer through that pumpkin pie, and that shit was tasty.
Is she going to make pumpkin pie for Christmas for me to
she
try?
Better.
I can ask.
Please. Or another pie.
She better because she'll be uninvited if she doesn't bring that
uninvited.
Shit.
I don't think it doesn't have to be pumpkin, but I'll take pecan or
pumpkin.
She is a pumpkin pie specialist.
The women
in her family pride themselves on their pumpkin pie.
Okay, well then I definitely need at least a whole one for myself.
My favorite is stuffing.
Oh, stuffing. Well, I am really proud of my stuffing. Christopher. Recipe. Do you change the recipe or do you stay pretty close to the grandma's recipe?
I strictly adhere to the ingredients. However, I have altered the preparation.
Do tell.
So that is my variation on grandma's approach.
Okay.
Is the ingredients are exactly the same, you know, with some variation in terms of amounts. It's not that precise anyway.
Yeah. Mom sent me a thing that says a pinch of sage. Like what is a pinch of sage?
Wet but not goopy.
That's the quote of grandma. Sorry, Christopher, go ahead.
No, that's it. I straight up follow the recipe except for how I've tweaked it.
So. How do you tweak it? What's the tweak?
The way I tweak it is, you know, the three onions that are supposed to be included
and
the giblets that are included, right?
Yes.
I put them in the blender.
Oh, they're like pureed.
And I chop them fine, like they are blended together, and then I saute that mixture in the saucepan before I mix it with the breadcrumbs.
Is this a goopy like substance? Is it a
yes? It is a thick milkshake like substance.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
There are no distribution of flavor. Is this because someone in your house doesn't like onions or seeing the onions? Is that the reason?
It is for texture, and it is to defeat the criticism that there are chunks of onion and chunks of heart.
Wow. Dude, onions are my like favorite thing. So I blend it all together. So I do big old fat chunks of onions. Delicious.
I like the permeation that such an approach achieves by mixing it all together.
So. I might try that next year. I got a badass blender up here, so I'll give it a shot.
Dad, I gave Dad that idea, and I think he followed that approach this year, and he thought it was good. So
good. Mom is the toughest critic, and then he's followed right sure. behind. So.
I'll
be there for Christmas. Yeah.
I will say this. This is the gravy that Mom made this year. Mm. Some of the best gravy she's ever made.
Oh, yeah.
It was true. Phenomenal. It was delicious.
It was very good.
Exactly like I like it.
So, I mean, I don't want this to make it the Thanksgiving podcast or anything, but I have a comment. My gravy turned out kind of different than Mom's because I brine my turkey. And so the drippings are changed because of this, but the turkey is so good. So like my gravy turned out really dark, really early. Like it was already super dark and, it had a different kind of flavor to it because of the mixture of salt and juice that was in the meat when it started baking. So, I don't know. It was different.
Yeah. Is this the Food Geek Podcast?
Food Geek Podcast. Welcome. Hey, man. We are the Food Geek Brothers. And we are. Welcome to our podcast, episode 1.
So, what do you mean? It was dark because...
Darker. Noticeably darker. Like hers is a light tan. I would say mine is like a medium brown.
Well, but
like,
the color is often produced by introducing a slurry into the mix to thicken.
Oh no,
it.
I did the slurry. No, it was dark before that.
So you did a slurry of cornstarch to thicken it.
Yep.
And that lightens it a little.
That lightened it a little, but it was. Like already 3 shades darker than Mom's before I even started with that. Yeah, it was weird.
Mine tends to be darker too than Mom's. I don't know what she does.
It does.
What are her secrets? She does like little things and doesn't write it down.
It's not necessarily better or worse, but
true. It's just different.
My turkey was amazing though. It was so moist. I recommend
brining it.
Dude.
Our turkey.
Just try it next year. It's so good. So good. I know you don't want to deviate your hard and true. So we have a discussion topic to start out the night here. A couple of big trailers came out last week.
I wonder what we're gonna talk about. I wonder what trailer we can possibly talk about.
We're probably going to talk about Jurassic World.
There was some rom-com
trailer.
Some movie starring Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Trailer for that, right?
Guess what, ladies and gentlemen, spoiler alert, he doesn't get the girl. Boom. Because he's Paul Rudd.
He is a loser.
Because he is a loser.
Yeah.
So the trailer that we should talk about is definitely not that. It is The Force Awakens. It was more of a teaser than a trailer, I would say.
Not a full trailer, but a teaser.
So there's
there's
some main elements to this trailer. Okay, one, African American stormtrooper. Is there a comment about that? Because obviously he doesn't look like Boba Fett, so he's not a clone. So he's a regular dude is he a good guy that's in Imperial garb, or is he a bad Imperial that his helmet's fallen off? Do we know that?
Whichever he is, he's in quite a bit of distress.
He's in quite, everybody in is running from something. Do you notice this in this trailer? Yes. Everybody is kind of like in frantics the whole trailer. So there's that guy. Then there's this little droid thing that it's similar to a R2 unit, but it's they're saying that
it
it's
looks like an R2 unit.
It's like an advanced R. They're saying it might be like an S unit, like an S2 unit, because it's like the next
level, like the next generation.
You got that?
Yeah.
And so it's like an Astro Droid, yeah, which is a proper name for the R2 units. But it's
looks like it looks like an R2 head. It's right, an astromech. Right. Yeah,
but, so it's got but it's got a it's got a soccer ball. Yeah, it's got a soccer ball on the bottom, which
it's
is
awesome.
Cool.
I and love it.
It looks great. No,
it's a cool concept. Awesome. I want to see it like open up. I bet it's got the little things in it too, just like R2 does. So yep. I'm excited about that. I hope there's actually like R2-D2 in this. But that's cool that we got random little droids. You know. Can't have Star Wars without random
R2-D2
little droids.
R2-D2 is going to be with Luke.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I got chills when you said that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, my God. So that's...
Okay.
Okay, so what else we got? We got... there's pod racers in the background. Definitely, like, half this trailer takes place on Tatooine.
Speeder bike.
Yeah, it looks very...
Speeder bike looking thing, which is...
weird looking speeder bike.
Which is, like, that chick... What's her name? Daisy something? And
Daisy
she...
Ridley.
Woman.
Sorry.
Woman.
Sorry. I'm bad at the chicks. I need to stop that.
Yep.
Two 50s over here. Hey. she's a fly chick, bro.
That so, was the 70s.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Fly? Yeah. Mm, too fly. Much.
Yeah,
too
I don't know about that. Yeah. Keep All moving right. on.
Let's... I don't know my history.
We charge ahead.
So what else did we see? I'm trying to think. Lots of Tatooine. We saw Daisy blah 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 on the
Ridley.
Speeder. Ridley, thank you. Again.
Uh-huh.
And this is on Tatooine. She's rumored to be Han Solo and Leia. Yes, exactly. That's a rumor. Yes. So that's cool that she's in it. There's also one shot, if you watch it, it's really quick. She's got a lightsaber strapped to that speeder bike. If you watch
that's
it.
That's possible.
If you watch it. So she might have Jedi powers.
Might
just,
be.
Just mm-hmm. might be.
What I found was my, well, besides the obvious kind of part at the end, which we'll talk about when we get there.
Yeah.
The part where Oscar Isaac, who is a fantastic actor.
I didn't recognize him.
Flying in
crazy.
I didn't either. But when it was pointed out, I'm like, that's totally him.
That's totally
Oscar
him.
Oscar Isaac is full.
Oh.
Flying an X-Wing. And the X-Wing are like, there's what? Three or four X-Wing in the shot.
Yeah.
And they are like skimming along like a ocean surface.
A lake.
Yeah.
100% badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks awesome. Looks amazing.
Well, here's something X-Wing that you could take from that too that is a small little detail is like, they have rebel garb on. So obviously there's some iteration of the Rebel Alliance is still exists. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But the best shot of the whole thing was the tracking shot with the Falcon. That's the one that gave you the most chills, man. We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah, no. But we're skipping over kind of the most controversial moment of the trailer.
Okay.
The shot
the
where
lightsaber.
We follow this a black clad. Some kind
he looks
of black clad
she looks badass.
I think the rumor on the internet is that that's Adam Driver because of his overall build and walking stature.
No,
I
can agree with that.
Yeah, it's probably Adam Driver.
So we don't see his face. We track him as he's taking a few steps through a snowy forest,
which is awesome,
and then he extends a lightsaber which has a red blade,
yeah,
and then it extends two small red hilts,
right?
Also,
right,
so it looks like a long sword, like a traditional knight's long sword,
but like
there's some chatter on the internet,
and yeah,
you're right, but it looks there's been some chatter about some fanboys were claiming that it looks stupid. And I think that's totally wrong.
Dude, haters gonna hate. You know? Like that's
haters gonna hate.
That's
people just need to relax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
somebody will find
cool.
somebody
the shot is awesome.
Somebody will find something to gripe about in anything, Andrew. That's what you have to realize.
No.
Because don't feed the trolls. Don't feed the trolls.
Yeah, the overall shot from behind of this black clad figure and he like whips out his lights. And it turns on and it's red bladed. Looks freaking awesome. It's a breeze. It's dark. It's snow-covered ground. You could hear wind whistling. It's amazing. Yeah,
it's a great
shot.
It's a very good shot. I like.
And
I,
then
there's a lot of interesting, like, cinematic, like, cool shots in this that we've never seen in a Star Wars movie. Cool. You know, J.J. Abrams has, like, a different take on it than Lucas, and
he's a better filmmaker. He's a better director.
I will totally agree with that. I think George Lucas shines when he's writing the story, not the script, and he's executive producing, and he's part of the process, but not necessarily directing, script writing, or being the lead creator in it. So I think that taking these Star Wars elements and then putting him into a better filmmaker, filmmaker. Wow, I can't talk tonight. Is like a good thing for Star Wars fans. I think we're going I think this is going to be a much better movie than any of them. Just in a film way, whoever, like, the story could be crap, the acting could be whatever, but I think in a craft way, this will be a better looking Star Wars film than
Exhibit A is Empire Strikes Back, dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Irving Kirshner is terrible, but he made a great Star Wars film.
Yeah.
Well, but that's Exhibit A. George Lucas didn't have total control.
Right. No. Totally.
And
Yeah.
No, but we're into the kind of the most the climax of the 88-second teaser is the Millennium Falcon blasts into the shot. There's a huge sweeping.
Hold on a second, Andrew. Andrew, pause yourself for a second. Yeah, you're crunchy. Yeah, everybody's crunchy. Hold on a second. You guys sound much better. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties, a little bit of Skype internet problem. Hopefully it goes away. You were saying, Andrew?
Yeah.
You were saying about the Millennium Falcon and TIE Fighters? Yes.
Is this huge...
Oh, no.
Huge sweeping loop of the Millennium...
What? Yeah, definitely sound bad. Yeah. God damn it. Sorry, Andrew. Let's try that again. Millennium Falcon.
The Millennium Falcon in its huge sweeping loop, and you can tell that it's somewhere on Tatooine because they have shot of the Dune Sea. It does a huge sweeping loop, sweeps around, and it encounters two TIE fighters that are firing on it.
Yeah.
And then the huge theme.
Notice the key detail on the Millennium Falcon? The replaced radar dish?
Yeah. The sensor dish.
Because it got knocked off in Return of the Jedi. Love it.
Exactly. It's rectangular instead of a circle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great.
It's very cool.
I love that. Yep.
Yeah. I got full body chills when the Millennium Falcon burst into it.
Full body chills when that happened with John Williams' score coming through. Dude, this is just
all of the fanboy, all the fanboy hope in me that was so crushed and destroyed by the prequels.
Yeah.
Yes.
Episodes 1 through 3 just totally woke up.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Like, the water was sprinkled on the dead plant,
and it like bloomed,
and it bloomed immediately. It was so good.
Well, okay.
It felt so good to feel that way about Star Wars because I've for so long felt
horrible
I hated
about
on
Star Wars?
The prequels.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That it felt so good to like just be. React that way to a Star Wars moment. I just love
it. Totally. Well, I mean,
it was incredible.
What people feel so passionately about these movies because I mean these are part of our childhoods. I remember getting the trilogy for Christmas.
Formative,
VHS. Totally VHS, like original cut before Lucas went in and. Remastered, recut it, Han shot second bullshit, and
ruined legacy.
Yeah, And
he ruined it. How could he ever? He just got it totally wrong. He just
Right. Yeah. It's not. This isn't a rage podcast. But like
here's something I'm curious about, because Christopher saw this movie in the theater. He went to Tempe Marketplace with his daughter, and they saw it before Interstellar. What was your 14-year-old daughter's reaction to this trailer, Christopher?
Yes.
She very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, but your kids are nerds, so
they are nerds.
We didn't get a much chance of a talk about it because she was processing Interstellar.
We walked out of that theater, and
she was processing Interstellar. So
yeah. What did she think of that?
We really haven't talked in depth. She liked it a lot. Yes.
Did she? Did she understand it? Yeah, was she confused? Or she's pretty bright. I mean,
she's very bright, and she understands. And we actually talked about some of the science.
Oh, nice.
And she, you know, she is a very bright person, and so she understood much of it. But she, you know, she was definitely confused about some things, which is totally understandable. But
people who don't have a general idea of relativity.
She's in the position of – she's relating to the daughter, right? So,
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Well, that's awesome.
It was good.
So we talked about how you had to go see this in a theater last show.
I saw it in a theater.
But they actually posted it online, so I've watched it probably six times already. So you can find
just
this
six?
On YouTube.
Oh, just six. I think I probably watched it six times today.
Oh wow! You're
whenever I do.
Okay, Andrew.
Free 90 seconds.
You are lamer than me. Cool,
dude. I tweeted it today. There, I saw some report that it'd been watched 40 million times on YouTube, and I think 38 million of those have been me. So yeah, nice. No, I've watched it a lot. I'll admit it right now.
I'm very excited about this movie. We weren't given much. We were given little bits of information. There were no shots of Leia, Han, Chewie, Luke, any of that. So, I mean, they're probably trying to keep it.
Which I appreciate very much.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see a shot of Luke. I would have liked that. Or
no, dude. No. I disagree. I disagree. Because we know that they're involved. We don't need to see them in a teaser to remind us the awesomeness of Star Wars. We've got the music. We've got the Falcon. All of those things.
We got a lightsaber.
And we got badass lightsabers.
So does that X-wing. Lightsaber... X-wing.
So we don't need...
Yeah, we got X-Wings. Oh, my God. Love the X-Wings.
X-Wing.
I used to play the crap out of that game. What was that game... was it Rogue Squadron on the Nintendo 64?
Rogue Squadron.
God.
Oh, yeah.
I love that game. That was one of my favorite Star Wars games, like, ever. Ugh. So good. In other discussion that I would like to bring up, only because I love these movies too, is new Jurassic World trailer with my man crush Chris Pratt's in it. So, what do you guys think of that? Just a short little blurb about that.
Very, very pleasantly evocative of the first movie.
Right.
Completely agree.
And that's the best one.
I like that a lot.
That's the best one of them all, and it hit all the right notes.
It leaps and bounds.
So I'm hopeful that it will be great.
Yeah.
The trailer did its job in reminding me why I dug that world, especially as reflected in the first movie. So I'm excited about it.
I love how the park looks. I love that it looks like a theme park. I love that it's got this futuristic tone to it. I love how serious
is it a sequel that's set in the future?
Or is it a reboot? Like, I read something online today about how the park is on one of the original islands and it's been active for like 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And there's something happens. The park tries to introduce some kind of new attraction, which I think the
trailer kind of touches on with the idea of the new splicing. Species.
Yeah.
The hybrid, and then, catastrophe happens.
It's
set in the same universe. It's set in the same universe as the original Jurassic Park movies.
Some of the shots, like them running through the field, look like the same shot, as them running from that herd of, Gallimimus or whatever. Gallimimus,
The big...
Right.
Gallimimus.
Exactly. That's the only reason I remember that dinosaur's name is because how that kid said it. But, it seemed like it was the same location even. So, it's pretty cool. I'm excited about that. I think...
Definitely made me want to see
it. We don't quite have to wait as long.
Definitely. I mean, it did its job in my mind.
That one comes out next summer.
Next summer. Oh, yeah, did we say Star Wars is December 2015, which is good because there was a lot next summer. So... I think that they need to push it off and do its own
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I mean, that'll...
For sure.
We've talked about this. We'll talk more about it, but that'll own the holiday season for sure.
Totally.
If it's in any way good.
Yeah. If it's in any way good, this will make $1 billion, like, very quickly. Oh, yeah.
I mean, episode 3...
How much did Disney buy Lucasfilm for? $6 billion? They're gonna make like that shit back in 10 years. Like, not even. Jeez.
Yep.
Easily.
That's crazy to me. Okay. Moving on. Moving on to Scene. Why don't we Andrew, what you got for Scene?
Well, I watched the midseason finale of The Walking Dead last night. I'm not going to spoilerize anything. All I know, all I'm going to say is this. I'll make a comment about the overall handling of the episode itself, because the Facebook feed for The Walking Dead actually spoiled the ending before it showed in our time zone.
Well,
so I knew
dumb
how it was going to end because I made the dumb mistake because it airs at 10 o'clock.
Dude, you gotta like cut off all like social networking when you want to.
I really did. It airs at 10 o'clock, so I got online at about like 7:30.
It's an amateur move, dude. amateur move.
It is an amateur
move. We're not
completely
calling you amateur, but you're a noob.
Yeah. So I knew the end before I watched it.
Well, that sucks. Like,
it was still a good episode, it was interesting.
I mean, you gotta put something on the Facebook, but you don't want to ruin the end. I have no idea what you saw, and I didn't watch it, so I have no comment. But
They announced a death that happened in the episode, and it's
gross.
It's a huge, significant death.
That's stupid.
So
they're stupid.
Saw that on Facebook before the episode aired. So I was a little disappointed.
AMC. Social media. That's a messaging problem.
Don't be stupid. Christopher.
Yeah.
Wait, what else you got for Scene, Andrew?
No, that you know what? That's pretty much what I wanted to say.
Cool.
But it was a gut-wrenching episode of Walking Dead. Gut-wrenching.
This is mid-season, so when's it coming back?
Comes back in February.
Cool.
Yep.
Christopher?
I, too, watched the mid-season finale of... The Walking Dead. I found it to be one of the weaker episodes of the half season.
This season has been pretty punchy, you guys said. So
it has been great. Yeah. But this episode was
weak sauce.
It didn't work on all levels to me, and the payoff moment was, I'm of two minds about it. One is that everything, the real world, this world, that world that they've created, nothing, it doesn't all flow. And, best laid plans don't always work out, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
From a storytelling, it didn't work in terms of the character who ultimately is killed. That character's evolution and the point that the character is at, it didn't they didn't do a good enough job of setting it up and paying it off in my mind, in terms of this is that this character's arc, and it's gut wrenching. They went for gut wrenching for gut wrenching's sake rather than gut wrenching and traumatic because it's part of the overall story that they are telling. And yep. it felt a little it just didn't pay off well to me, and I didn't the episode just didn't wasn't that coherent. It's been a great half season so far. It's really been solid, and I still enjoyed the episode, but what didn't quite sort of make it home for me. But I look forward to its
maybe because they were building it up too much that it kind of like they had nowhere to go, kind of a thing. Is that kind of how you felt about it? Like,
well, there were moments in the previous episodes that gave her
don't ruin anything
her, it gave the character, you know, a narrative and talked about sort of the evolution of that character, but then it didn't tie it all off in this last episode in my mind.
Oh,
so.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I agree with most of that. And the front eight on this season, the first seven episodes of the front eight, I think were very, very strong. I did feel that the death was gut-wrenching in the sense that it did kind of come out of nowhere. It didn't feel that earned, in my opinion. And the character that we lost is a very, very significant one. So it'll affect everyone.
Dies in the walking
you know,
bed.
And I would argue that point, Andrew, that this character is that significant. The character was just kind of there for a long time, and then that character developed a relationship with a couple others, and the character got fleshed out some more, but it's definitely not in the central character, sort of not A-list but B-list as part of this group. And so, you know, there's certainly more story that could have been told about this character, but you know, I like the idea that in this world it's a terrible, terrible existence, and anything can happen at any moment. So,
yep, that's the way I look at it for every episode, every single episode. Yep. Anything can happen at any time.
That's good. Yep. It's kind of like the Game of Thrones moment. Like anybody can die like all the time.
Yep. No, I like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I want.
It's different kind of television.
I don't want anybody to feel safe. It's different kind of television. Anybody feel safe?
What like Lost kind of did that? Kind of front-runned the like anybody can die at any moment kind of a thing, and. Hey, you know, they will never kill off Jack or Kate.
And then Lost kind of half-assed it. They teased that idea, but they sort of, you know, the characters they killed off, none of them were
central
A or
E.
Yeah,
right. You kill the A-list characters, and you're kind of
you're taking real risks.
Yeah, because you're going to piss off fans, alienate people, and. Yeah. Cool. You got anything more for scene?
Nope. Nothing that I've other than what I've already discussed.
I would like to discuss.
Flash. Oh. I'm watching Flash.
Oh, we should talk about Flash this and Arrow. because Flash and Arrow are having their crossover this week. I am so pumped about that.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yeah, me too.
Oh,
I'm jacked.
My god, I can't wait to watch that. The trailers and the spots look so fun. Oh my god,
they do look a lot of fun.
Enjoying both shows so far this year. They've been solid.
Me too.
Totally. The Flash. I mean, it's just
Andrew.
Fun.
How's that Gotham watching going?
Yeah, how's Gotham?
It's been a slog. Honestly, there's been up and down episodes. There's a couple episodes that have been really good. The most recent episode was straight up. This is an episode about Baby Batman, and it
is
just brutal. It's just rough. Yeah, no, and I'm even kind of – at this point, I'm kind of tired of Ben McKenzie
and
Jim Gordon. I'm getting a little sick of him. I mean, I just something. Yeah, it's wearing thin. It's very, very thin at this
point.
Dude,
I'm so glad I'm not watching that. For me. Oh my god! Like,
yeah. I'm glad
the,
it's
the
on a
feeling
break now.
That I feel elation and excitement about Flash and Arrow, like looking forward to watching it every week, is what I want to feel when I pick a show. And I have no desire to watch Gotham, like zero. Like, it gave me the tone that it gave me was not fun or smart or like we get it
or that interesting.
Yeah, yeah, no, we get it. Like Flash was fun. It was fun right out of the gate. Oh, funny, fun. You know. And the action and is good people and it knew what it was. It knows what it is. You know,
there's a reason why the comic and all the movies are called Batman.
Yeah.
Because Batman is the most interesting character. Yeah. They're not called Gordon.
Yeah.
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 No, I understand.
Some people read, you know, Gotham PD, and that was a pretty good, but like, it was cool because it was like
Gotham
different.
PD is, the only reason why Gotham PD is made is because it's related to and in the era of Batman and Batman would appear.
And Batman was like an adult in that. So
I understand. It's harsh.
And that's
it's
what the showrunners I go back to the showrunners totally have misconstrued the narrative and the whole idea about that world.
Totally.
They just missed the concept.
So my scene is I went and saw Big Hero 6. And I know you
have wanted to see that for weeks.
Oh, you didn't see that? Chris saw it. I know Chris saw it. I thought you both saw it.
It's a great animated movie.
Okay, it looked fantastic. But there's something missing that I felt in The Incredibles that I wanted in this movie that wasn't there. And it's Pixar. Pixar just is so much better at this. And the fun wasn't... It was just silly. And I feel like this is a throwaway movie. Like, I feel like you watch it once, and that's fine. And if it's on TV, you watch it again. But I feel like this wasn't a good movie. Like, it's not a great movie at all. Like, I don't know.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of my take from it. I got really sick of Baymax. I thought he was kind of annoying in some parts. I didn't like it. When his battery runs out of like juice, is he just supposed to be drunk? Is that what's wrong with him? Like that's the joke. That's why we're laughing, because he's acting drunk. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. That really, like, I didn't laugh at all during that. I was like, what is happening? Like, I understand that, you know, I like getting drunk. I like seeing drunk people.
Kids,
but
Patrick,
exactly,
the kids laugh hard.
Right. Because they're used to seeing drunk people. That's horrible. Like, think about that. I don't know.
Baymax is acting goofy.
I like when he did the like fist bump thing and he went blue, 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 blue. I thought that was funny. Anytime he did that, it was funny. There's just some kind of inconsistencies I feel like in 5 years, no one will say the movie Big Hero 6 ever. They will never, unless there's a sequel coming out, which there probably will be. So, okay.
Is it making a ton of money?
It's a Disney movie, dude. Of course, I bet it is.
Yes, well, this movie is significant because it's Disney's first use of a Marvel property in their animation for features.
Right, because
it's a Marvel. Well, it's
box
a Marvel property,
Mojo.
Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
Box Office Mojo had it like $106 million or something.
That's good. Okay. I mean that seems kind of low for the animated movie, but the reviews are solid on
We're used to movies like Frozen that do $600 million.
Well, Frozen was like... Okay, there's something too, Christopher. You can comment on
this. I was totally off.
$167 million. That's pretty good. That's pretty
167.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. 167 million.
That's
really good.
I would like to talk to Chris for a second about this because he has some inside knowledge, because Disney's been targeting like young girls with like since Frozen, you know, they've been trying to like target these strong, you know, make these strong female characters that little girls can relate to that are not like damsels that need to be saved. You know, the whole appeal to Frozen was there's these strong girls who have these, you know, they can't control themselves kind of a thing. And
they're not saved by the boys.
They're not saved by the boys, right. They save themselves. They figure out their own thing. And the true love in it is like a sisterly love. So that, you know, there's one little girl in the team that was like the tough, brash little, you know, little black-haired, I'm punky, you know, girl. And she kept saying...
The skater,
right. She kept saying, woman up. And she was, like, the toughest of the dudes, you know, of the crew.
Yeah, but there was so, she wasn't the only girl. She wasn't
no, she the wasn't only girl, the only girl on the team, dude. She wasn't the only girl, but yeah. I was very, like... That character kind of... It was a little too in my face, I guess. Like, I understand. I feel like Disney's been trying to dig themselves out of a hole for a while.
Dude, yes. Think about it this way, Patrick.
Yeah.
You would not say that if it was a boy.
No. Skating. What I'm saying is like the fact. No. That's not what I'm commenting on. I'm just saying
You would not say it was too in your face. This is my point.
No.
You would not say it's too. It was too in your face if it's the skater dude.
It's no.
Doing all the same stuff.
Not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that, like, they make a point of making her punky and black haired, and her saying "woman up." You know, and being, like, the most, like, emotionally unavailable as everybody.
You're saying it feels forced?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand like why what they're trying to do.
But Disney wants to make the point that...
The other woman on the team is a fashionista.
I know, but that's fine.
Her weapons are color.
True. Okay, yeah. maybe I'm seeing too much into it. I don't know.
I think you are.
Okay. All right.
Because she's, yeah. I mean,
They did
a nice job of presenting. It wasn't a one note.
Right.
You know, the characters in large measure are one note. Right. However, the mix was diverse.
Very diverse.
And that's the point that I think.
Okay. All right.
The point that Disney's going for is diversity young girls are not caricatures of themselves.
Well, and the main characters seem kind of like Asian mixed race. I mean, his aunt was white, but she was very. But he looked very like Asian influenced. So did his brother.
But particularly with regard to the girls and the women,
right.
I think they're working. They're working hard to avoid and not reinforce standard stereotypes. That was the main point that you were starting at the beginning, and that was part of that. They go to an extreme with regard to that character, the woman up, sort of in your face, punky sort of thing. And yeah, maybe it was extreme, but it's only extreme because your subconscious mind is thinking she's too out there.
No, I'm not reacting to that. I have no problem with punky girls.
If it was a boy, you wouldn't have the same reaction.
No, my reaction is that they needed to do that. Like, because if she was blonde and dumb and running around and I'm just going to let a boy save me, blah, 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 they would get hate letters. Like, So I felt like they went too far the other way to try to like not to avoid that. I don't know. It's a weird discussion. I'm sorry for bringing it up. We should probably move on.
No, it's good.
But like,
this is important.
But like, this is important Disney,
because we have
Disney,
lots of young women who listen to the podcast. It's important to talk about and reinforce the idea and talk about the issues that are brought up by exactly those kind of characters.
Right.
Yeah. That you're talking about. That's one of the reasons why I enjoyed the movie, because it has
diversity, and it had alternative approaches to your standard damsel in distress.
I agree with that. I'm glad that
young women.
I gotta go see it. Every time I try to make plans to go see it, the plans fall through. So I gotta go see it.
Just go see it. I just went by myself.
No, I gotta go. I'm just gonna go next time if I can't make plans.
If you're gonna go, Andrew, call your nieces, and some of them will want to go
and,
with you
and stay it. And stay cool. Till the end, because there is a Marvel little thing at the end. So.
Okay.
Okay, we should move on to Red because we're syndroming like crazy tonight. So Red, Christopher, what do you have for Red?
What do I have for Red? I went to Samurai and I picked up all, and I'm current on. Actually, I'm not in terms of rating. I have not read all of Batman Eternal, but I'm working my way through those to try to get to current.
Wow.
And so
it's tough to it's tough to get current with that because it doesn't stop like. Nope. You don't have a month to catch up. You have
a week. But I'm working on them. Yeah. I'm working my way through them. A lot of stuff's going on. I like the convergence of the stories. He was sort of all over the place in the first 20, but it sort of found its footing, and it's doing a better job of coalescing the stories around sort of the central couple of, like three main storylines, I guess, and I like that. And Batman gets to be Batman a lot more in the latest ones, which I appreciate very much, which was missing from a lot of the early ones. And so I'm enjoying it a lot because of all of those factors. It's sort of got its feet under it. Batman being Batman, solving things, fighting things. It's been good so far. So
that sounds cool.
Yeah. So, and I'm. So I'm reading that, I continue to work my way through on Audible. I continue to work my way through the Dresden books,
right,
for the third time through. And
wow, they must be are all of them narrated by Marsters?
All but one are narrated by Marsters. It's just a great series. The characters are great. Dresden is an awesome character.
I'm trying to cut through Dune as quickly as I can. Well, I want to enjoy Dune, but I'm trying to cut through it so I can get to Stormfront. Like I'm going to get that.
You got to savor Dune though, man.
Savor it. Yeah, you got
that's it for me.
Okay, Andrew, what you got?
I, like Christopher, went down to Samurai and picked up so I have a stack of Batman Eternal to get through.
Boom.
I also have other things that I'm reading that I need to get through as well. I continue to read Dune, and I continue to appreciate it on multiple levels. The point I'm at in the story now, the Atreides family household has relocated to Arrakis. And
oh, wow. Okay.
They are setting up their household in Arrakeen. And,
have they gone out to the spice mining operation?
They have not. I have not. I am on a chapter where we are following Jessica as she encounters people throughout the house.
So you just met the shout out Mapes.
Shout out Mapes. And
I love the names in this book. Oh my god!
Oh no, so good.
Fade Ralpha.
I will say at this point, I know kind of what's coming just because I've seen the crappy movie.
Yes.
Know that there is a betrayal that happens, and the betrayal is by a person inside the Duke's inner circle.
Yeah, in the book they allude to that too. Yeah.
Oh, no, they do. But what is bothering me is if Jessica is supposed to be so perceptive and she is supposed to be kind of so keen and so aware of what's happened. She's had all this mental training and she's very adept at reading people and, you know, the political ramifications of most situations she kind of can understand immediately. She does not sniff out this betrayer. So I'm struggling a little bit with that because she's
been set up as not necessarily an omniscient character, but she is very formidable. Everyone admits that about her. And she doesn't seem – she seemingly does not sniff out this betrayer. And I don't know. I just can't get my mind around that.
I don't want to ruin it for you or ruin it for anybody who is going to read it. But, like, the reason is because there's a reason, you know?
Yeah.
There's an excuse for why she doesn't see who it is.
Oh, yeah. It's a central
right.
element to her character, which is more fully developed, dude. So
there's definitely a reason if you read it and you still don't understand, we can talk about that when it gets.
No,
to that
I'm
point.
Sure I'll understand it. It's just this right. point, kind of having a little bit of an idea of what's coming.
Well, but the betrayal hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't. Right. No, it hasn't.
Right.
So, but I just know a little bit of the plot.
You're putting a gloss what you know.
Exactly. And yeah, I'm not trying to.
Well, but, they talk about the betrayer, and still, when they're talking on the Harkonnens, like, they know, you know, oh, yeah, there's no, the a betrayer in their midst. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, so,
no, but the clue, Andrew, is when Jessica is talking to the Reverend Mother, and the Reverend Mother says you were supposed to have a daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's clue number one.
Yeah.
About why she isn't completely, like you said, omniscient or aware.
Totally. So, yeah.
Anyway,
totally.
You'll learn more about
it. But I'm really enjoying it. I will continue to read it. Absolutely.
Cool.
It's
cool.
a fantastic book.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Is that it for you?
That's for me. Yeah.
I continue to listen to Dune. I am about 5 hours away from being done. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening right now. It's really good. They kind of took a lull a little bit after the big thing that happened in the middle. But they're like kind of taking the time to figure stuff out. I'm at a part where someone drinks this weird liquid and they see some weird stuff. And it's,
yes,
it's, I don't, that's very, like, you know, strange. And if you don't know what I'm, if you haven't read it, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but it was very interesting, very crazy. So intense to listen to. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That scene was just, whew.
Yeah,
it was nuts, but it's good. I'm still enjoying it. I'm wanting to, like, finish it, like, but I don't want to rush it. Like I said, I want to get the Dresden stuff started, but I want to, you know,
once you finish it, you've got to read Dune Messiah, dude.
Oh yeah, that'll be on the list too. I want to try to do like bucket list books for my Audible stuff, like stuff I'm you know, stuff that I should have read. Like, I want to do The Hobbit,
good.
Lord of the Rings, that kind of stuff on there,
that's
too.
That's good. That's
good. So, that's what I'm...
Cool.
That's
a good approach.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on to Played. What do you guys have for Played? Christopher, you got a lot for Played, don't you?
I have one thing for Played.
One thing for Played.
The WoW expansion, Warlords of Draenor. I've been playing that, nothing but that, since it came out.
I've heard there's been some Battle.net trouble this week. Did you have any issues?
Yes, there was some. Again, they were a denial of service attack. But they, you know, they have responded well. Blizzard has responded well to all of that. And you know, all the problems that they had at launch, they gave everyone 5 free days, and they're good. It's a great company. So I haven't had any other than those 2 episodes. I haven't had any login issues or service related issues. It's been totally stable and great fun to play. My main Hunter, I got him to level 100.
which is the cap. And Patrick, you will appreciate this very much. For the WoW 10th anniversary, they reintroduced a level appropriate Molten Core 40-man raid.
Whoa. Okay.
So.
Wow.
But
okay.
But it's LFR.
Okay. So you can't.
So it's totally random.
Oh, okay.
You show up with 39 other strangers.
Looking for a group.
Looking for a raid.
Looking for a raid, yeah.
And and so it's totally random 40-man raiding, old school 40-man raiding, except without any of the coordination of the old school 40-man raiding, so 40-person raiding. So the carrot that they offer is that if you complete the raid, you get
a mount, a Corehound mount, right?
A Corehound mount, which is friggin' badass.
Right.
And you get an eye level 640, which is a rating level, intro rating level helm. Guaranteed drop for everyone is you get the helm and you get the mount.
Cool.
And so I did that last night. I got my character up to to 618. 615 is a minimum eye level. Got my character up to 618. I queued up for it, and it took over 3 hours to finish.
Oh my god!
We had a couple of incidents of trolls who would do random bad pulls, and then the raid. You know how it is. The raid turns against them and tries to kick them.
Yeah.
Except the rule is that you cannot be kicked if you are in combat or immediately out of combat. Like you can't kick the person. And so what this person did
was just keep pulling.
When they got targeted for kick, he just stayed in combat the entire time.
Huh.
And when he died, he would immediately respawn and jump into the portal and attack something. So that he was always in combat. And so it took literally 45 minutes to kick the guy.
Wow.
So we were stalled for like 45 minutes because he was just trolling the raid hard.
Wow.
But once we got rid of him.
Jump in.
Can
there,
I jump in real quick just because I have never played WoW. I have never done any of this. It's called raid chat. Is that correct? I mean, is that the correct term? Is there 40 people talking to each other?
Not like we're channel? Talking to one another. Just chat is typing.
Yeah, there's a text like thing over to your left where you can see.
It's like it's different channels.
It just sounds like insane.
There's whispers and there's guild chat and, really, and there's raid chat.
In LFR, there's maybe 5 people who are chatty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bad ones, like 40 man.
And most of it is like pulling or like help, you know, they're explaining who they're attacking. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Most of it's pretty like no one's blowing people up. You're too busy clicking and running.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I got you. Okay.
So it gets worse
the
when you get in.
Of it.
I've been in like TeamSpeak. You know, and like vent with randoms, and that is like the worst experience of your life. The video. Go watch the video on YouTube if you need a reminder of the Nyxia video, and you'll understand what I experienced. So that's what it can turn into.
It was fun. I mean, it took forever. And it's a reminder that 40-person rating sucks.
Oh yeah,
totally sucks.
Well, you need what? You need
4 tanks.
4 tanks, 5 healers, something crazy like that. I mean,
more than 5. Yeah,
that's insane. That's so much. Oh, somebody get disconnected.
Did we lose Andrew? Andrew
can't hear us. He says,
I'm back now.
Oh,
sorry guys.
You're having some internet problems.
Andrew's having the issues, yeah.
Yeah, I am. Sorry about that.
It's usually me, so I'm happy it's not.
So anyway, I've been doing nothing but that. The Garrison feature is very, very addicting.
Dude, I want that. I want to
play. It is awesome. It is awesome. But
I want you to tell me about addicting. This, and I don't want you to tell me about
it is. Oh, it's resource management to the level that you cannot. I love it and I hate it.
Are you playing with awesome. Sean? Did Sean get this too? Awesome.
He did. Yeah.
Did he level his?
Sean's behind because. No, Sean's behind because he went to Hawaii. They went on their vacation.
Oh, that's right.
And so his character is only level 95. He's way behind.
Well, that's not bad. He's way behind. He'll get there. Is he still – is his main still that druid that he played with? I remember long ago. Okay,
yes,
cool.
But instead of balance, he's leveling a feral druid this time.
That's the way to go for sure. Yeah. It's easier when you're soloing and stuff. I mean –
Yep.
For sure. Cool.
But I've been having a ball with it.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
It's great fun. Yeah.
Andrew, you had some gripes about Destiny, you said. Gripes?
I have one large gripe about Destiny now, just because I am in the valley of needing to grind for upgrade materials for my armor.
Yeah.
So I need helium filaments to upgrade my armor. Unlocked all of these upgrades in the span of like 2 or 3 days.
I'm about to change your life. You ready for this?
Bring it.
Today with the patch, this is December 1st, they patched it today, you can purchase materials with marks. So as long as you are not saving for marks... And you don't need the gear from there.
I'm saving marks. I need to save marks. I need a legendary primary weapon. I'm running around with a blue bullshit auto rifle.
Andrew, here's the key lesson. There is no escaping the grind.
There's no escaping it.
I know. And I completely understand it, and I'm learning that. I am not an experienced MMO guy like you guys are, so I've never experienced the grind of needing materials for upgrades and things like that. So this is my first true experience of having to grind.
You need for helium, materials. Right? You need helium. I'll show you.
Helium, and I need ascendant shards.
I will show you the run, and I will teach you the ways.
I've been able to learn how to run around on the moon. Helium filaments we know are only available in one place. The moon.
There's a good farming spot that I can show you.
Oh, no, I understand. I'm just saying they're only available in one area. Of the game. It's on the moon. You can't pick up helium filaments everywhere. You have to go to the moon to find them.
Sure.
So but I need those, and I need ascendant shards. I need a ton of ascendant shards.
Well, ascendant shards you get from – do you need shards or energy?
I need ascendant shards, so did I need
not,
to do
– Hey, whoa. Did you not read that there was a patch today that removed that as a requirement upgrade exotics?
Only on exotics.
My exotic chest piece is completely upgraded.
For legendary stuff, you still need shards.
Yeah. So I have to do public events, and I have to do the daily heroic chapter on the on the hardest setting, so I can get more ascendant materials. So I get
those
drops.
Well, you're 27. You can do the.
Oh no, I can. And I have
28, and that's good.
When are we going to do the raid? That's the key question.
We can definitely. We need to find a time that we're
this
all
weekend.
The time that we all have available is when we record the podcast. So, so we will try next weekend. Maybe
I am willing to forego the. Anyway, yes. So we need to schedule the raid time so we can go. We can raid.
Definitely. Yeah. I
want to see it.
I am down. I will show you the ways of the raid.
And we can talk about it.
Yeah. I'm down.
Absolutely.
That was my gripe,
and that's all I have.
That's all you have?
Yep.
I would like to talk about... There was a little Destiny that I liked. I got my gloves that dropped in the raid, and so I got to 30 today. Woo!
Congrats, man.
I am capped out. So I'm ready for... the Dark Below to drop in 9 days.
Which is 2 weeks and a half.
Yeah, 9 days.
Yeah.
So I'm ready for that. I'm excited.
I'm excited for that too. I'm excited for some new content. I'm excited for some new stories, new strikes.
There will be new stories. There will be a new strike, and there will be a new raid, and there will be a ton of new weapons. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Doing that. I also played this week. I got Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
Yeah.
A couple of my buddies finally got it, so we played that a bit. Coming from WoW, switching back and forth is kind of... Or, sorry, not WoW, Destiny. Switching back and forth is a little jarring, but fun. The controls are a little different, and the gameplay is very different because Borderlands feels like anarchy. There's just things exploding all around you. You die a lot more. You're less, you know, you feel less formidable, I guess.
You're more squishy.
So you gotta like run a lot more and you gotta like hide a lot more, which is different. The pace, the gameplay is very different than Destiny. It looks weird. So, I mean, the art style is different. I actually enjoy the art style, but comparing it to Destiny is kind of strange.
Yeah.
I like it. It feels the dialogue is good. The best parts of Borderlands is it's very funny and they write it very well. The voice acting is very good, but it feels very long-winded. There's a lot of times where you're sitting there and they're just talking to you for like 5 minutes.
Syndroming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Syndroming in their game. And that's my only real gripe with it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I don't think I'd ever play it solo. I'd rather play Destiny solo, but like playing with my buddies, you know, I pretty much play any game with these guys cause I get along with them so well. And, you know, Bay Ray. So that's our little guild name is Bay Ray. So, that's all I really got. Let's talk, Andrew, what you got for a trivia for us.
I have a trivia question that was actually suggested by my wonderful girlfriend because she was over here earlier.
Guest trivia question?
She suggested it. We were talking about it. I said I needed to come up with a trivia question. She's like, you've been playing a lot of Destiny. Maybe there's something you can do with that. I'm like, know what? That's a good point. So,
okay.
According to a post by the Destiny community manager David Deej DeGo, how many average players per day does Destiny have?
Oh, wow.
Per day.
Per day.
How many people play Destiny?
It's really hard for me to judge these. Is it all platforms or is it just Xbox?
It is. It's all platforms.
A day.
A day.
A day. I'm going to say 4 million. No, that seems really high.
That does seem high. I'm going to say 2.1 million.
I'm going to stick with 4. I'm going to stick with 4.
You know what? You guys are on either end of the spectrum. You're right in the middle is the correct answer. It's 3.2 million players every day. Here is a more revealing fact.
That's a lot.
These numbers are about 2
months
old.
For a game that got a shit ton of criticism...
Yeah.
It's still got 3 million a day playing it.
3 million players a day. Here's another statistic that's very revealing. These players' play sessions are still averaging 3 hours a session.
Jeez.
People play for 3 hours, even on weekdays.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, you know, when I got the time, you know, on raid night, I'll probably play for 3 hours, you know.
Oh, I could play for three. I mean, I'll play for 3 hours in a day, but I may not play 3 hours at a stretch. I'll play like an hour in the morning, and then I'll come back to it an hour later. And then, you know, if I play a long session at night.
3 hours is pretty much nothing to me. I used to play WoW from dawn to dusk, eating.
I've told this before. I would go to bed at 10, 11 o'clock at night. Because I have to get up and go to work the next morning, I'd go up to shower at like 6 a.m. and you'd still be playing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think you'd moved.
I had a problem, dude.
Yeah,
I'm an addict.
That was a sign of a problem.
That's a sign that
No wonder our power bills became insane.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I can't play the game, dude. I like talking to people. I like waking up at normal times. I like girls.
You do like girls.
So, this is
women.
Women. I love women. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, 3 hours. 3 hours, it should be a lot, shouldn't it? That's bad. yeah, it's cool. That's crazy numbers. I'm glad they're doing well. People rip on it, but the people ripping on it just want it to be better, I think. Like, they want it to work, right? And that makes sense to me, because I've gotten kicked a lot. I've had a lot of internet problems. I've had a lot of, like, disconnection issues, and that, I feel like, is very common in the video game industry right now, with companies releasing games way too early or not being ready. And then the gamers are suffering for it. I mean, there's a lot of games that are doing that right now. They have deadlines, and they have to adhere to them. So, cool. Christopher, do you have a supplemental trivia for us this week?
You know, I don't. I'm letting you off the hook this week.
It's fine. I won't. I'll just stop all asking. Right. I'll just stop asking.
We'll take the
You'll
reprieve.
Have it or not.
I'll take the reprieve.
If you'd like to...
I'll bring it up if I've got one.
Okay, good.
Just to remind you that all you right, haven't cool. read The Lord of the Rings.
Every episode
yes,
you're
thank
gonna
you for
remind
the weekly reminder of that.
Soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yep.
Yep.
If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia... you should email him at kinginthenorth52@gmail.com. King in the North. I think I say that a little too fast. You can email us with questions, comments at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You should definitely follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek@twitter.com. And you should just come to our website, brothersgeek.com, and read stuff and listen to all of them and yeah, all that stuff.
Yes. Enjoy the show notes.
Yes, you
on the
should.
Previous episodes.
Enjoy,
we like it.
Enjoy Andrew's it's show
the
notes.
Witty, the witty show notes.
His show notes are fantastic. So,
they are.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And remember.
Thank you for listening, gentlemen.
Remember. Han shot first.